Do you turn up in your Bibles, please, to the book of Jeremiah? Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, you'll notice that when I'm on, and I'm on, and I'm if you're looking up Rosemary or Roro, this might be a little bit difficult for you today, but kind of imagine that I'm your son-in-law, Anthony, all right? If you can. You probably can't, but, you know, but if you can, because Anthony's not feeling too well at the moment and needs your prayers. And so if you could continue in prayer for him, we'll see him get well. And I mean it when I say go on with the work of the Lord, because the Lord is opening doors up for Anthony in quite an amazing and quite a big kind of way, which is very good. So in the seat in front of you, underneath the seat in front of you, there is a Bible, if you haven't brought a Bible. And the reason I do this is I've become very conscious in the work that I'm doing that a lot of people have no idea where certain books of the Bible are. And so it's just good because we've got used to doing this, you see. It's up there, isn't it? So you don't need to open your Bibles. But the problem is, then what happens is you don't learn where Jeremiah is. So go to the middle of your Bible and turn right until you come to Jeremiah. All right? Don't get as far as the New Testament, but Jeremiah is one of the big books that's in there. Quite a significant book. Jeremiah was a prophet. I'm not preaching about him. I'm actually preaching this morning about change and kind of making right decisions and how the Holy Spirit makes us make right decisions. We're often caught in the valley between the plenty of opportunities that there are, but trying to discern between what's good and what's right. You know, we're surrounded by bright people who can give us amazing ideas. Or we travel a lot and we see things. Wow, we could do that. I could get involved in that. But is it what God wants you to do? Is it what God wants you to do? And so it's just something to think about. And here in Jeremiah, we're going to start in the Old Testament, and we're going to start by looking at what the Holy Spirit is saying through this prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet, you see. That means he brings the word of the Lord to the people that the Lord wants to speak to. Now, the Lord is looking down on the people in Israel, and they're not in good shape. In fact, that's probably quite a misunderstanding, quite a misstatement, an understatement. It's quite an understatement. They're in bad shape, right? Most of you will know that. They're in bad shape. And God is speaking to them, and he's giving them an opportunity. And he says here in Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says. So nothing could be clearer. This is God speaking to his people. They're his people. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. All right, let's have a look at this. Stand at the crossroads. So here I'm at a crossroads. I can go that way. I can walk that way. I can walk that way. Or I can turn around and I can go back this way. Right? What is the best way? They're all good options. I'm not going to come to any harm no matter which way I go. But on each road, I'm going to have either God-sent opportunities or opportunities that, I don't know, may not be sent by God. I don't know. Yeah, there might be things that are just happening. I want to be involved in what God wants me to do. Are you like that? I want to be involved in what God wants me to do. And here, God is saying, you're at the crossroads. Look around. Get some advice. Isaiah, which one here is the ancient path? Which one here is the path which has been trodden down and tested and proven over time? Which is the one that the people of Israel have gone down before? I was reading this and I immediately thought of Caleb. What a great story Caleb is. Caleb is a man who... he followed God. No matter, he was part of the crew that went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, to see if it was a good land. Two of them, out of that group of people, only two came back with a good report. Caleb was one of them. Caleb did it right. The others were wrong. See? So I immediately thought of Caleb. I want to tread the path, the ancient path, that Caleb trod. Right? I want to be on the path that is the right path. That's the path that I want to be on. I want to be on this ancient, proven path, a path of righteousness. Caleb's life is a life of righteousness. I want to have a life of righteousness. I want my family to live a life of righteousness. Now, I know that I have to qualify that when I say that because there's a lot of misunderstandings about that. It's not that me, by doing anything right, can be righteous according to the righteousness of God. Right? When I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, what happens is that His righteousness is given to me. Right? Understand that. Because my righteousness, Jeremiah again, speaking later in chapter 24 or 28, I can't remember at the moment, but he says, my righteousness is as filthy rags. The things that I can do just don't match up to the righteousness of God. Here's my righteousness down here, the good works that I can do, and here's the righteousness of God. And so if my goal is to stand before God, I want to stand before God not in my righteousness, but in His righteousness. And He gives it to me so that I can. Now, no, I won't go down that track. But we need to stand before God in His righteousness because His righteousness is good, okay? Is good in the fullest sense of the word. Okay, so having said that, though, no, I'll go on to that later. No, I'll do it now. So we have this righteousness of God that is given to us as Christians. We become Christians, and so the righteousness of God is given to us. Understand? All right, you're not to look. You come into worship, and you've got these bunch of people here who are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And for a lot of people, they'll step back and they'll say, "I'm not holy enough to sing that song." Well, the fact of the matter is, you are holy enough to sing that song. You can press into the presence of God because it's been done by His righteousness, not by your righteousness. You with me on that? So anybody who has confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is made holy, right? Is set apart. The righteousness of God is infused into them, and they are able to stand and say, "I am righteous," not in my own sense of self. There's nothing worse than a self-righteous person, right? And I know that because I can get pretty self-righteous. Right? How many here can suffer from the disease of self-righteousness? Right? We're all like that, aren't we? You know, that doesn't count for anything. It's the righteousness of Christ that we're to stand in, not our own righteousness. However, having said that, what I wanted to say was this, that having been made righteous, having been redeemed, having been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're a different people from the inside out. We're a new people. And because we're a new people, regardless of what we think about ourselves, see, this is a difficult thing. Often our pasts, they sit there, our past, and they chatter to us. This is not who you are. This is not who you are, not a good person. Right? Do any of you have this going on in your head? Right, you are not a good person. Oh, what about the time you did this? What about the time you did that? Well, the fact of the matter is that that's all been covered. See that red line around there, like I said last week, that red line there is for a purpose. It is a picture of being us being under the blood of Christ. All right? And because of the blood of Christ, all of that chattering, that's all it is. It's just chattering. Tell it to shove off. Tell it to go. Tell it to go because it's not speaking the truth. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a brand new person from the inside out. And the blood of Jesus has washed you from all sin and unrighteousness. Now, there's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. And we'll be, this is a good illustration, and that's why I use it. We'll be traveling to work in the car. Somebody will cut us off. And that automatic finger just jumps up. Which is just not the right thing to do at all, is it? All right? And of course, all the chattering starts up again. It's dead and gone. This is a new thing. Subject it to 1 John 1:9. If you sin, He's faithful and just. Right? Say it. Can you guys say it? Yeah?
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's right. Say it again nice and loud.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Kara, do you know where that comes from? Okay, it comes from 1 John 1:9. Everybody say 1 John 1:9. We all need to know it. 1 John 1:9. If we sin and if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to hear us and to... Oh, I'm all mixed up. Say it again.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will... forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Hey, isn't that good news? Right? All right. So this day-to-day living, and yep, there'll be works of unrighteousness that we fall into, right? Give it to God and be led by the Holy Spirit, and that's where I'm going. I want to go to a couple of scriptures that talk about how God will lead us in our daily living, and so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be involved in godly works of righteousness. They don't save us. We've already been saved, and we're already righteous. But these are works that we will walk into as we abandon ourselves to being led by God. Unfortunately, in Jeremiah, this is tragic, isn't it? This is tragic. You will find rest for your souls. See that up there? But, there's a but. But, you said, we will not walk in it. Don't be a butter. Right? Goat's butt. Sheep bleat and goat's butt. All right? There's an old saying that I heard. Sheep bleat, goat's butt. Let's not be goats. Let's walk in the ancient paths and find rest for our souls as the Lord leads us. It's a difficult thing to do, though. We get used to everyday events, don't we? You know, the stuff that we like, the stuff that we will settle into, the mundane, the stuff. Breakfast. How many people here have their breakfast all sorted out? My wife, Jill, has her breakfast sorted out the night before she has breakfast. I don't live like that myself, but she does. All right. So how many people are like that? Not necessarily the night before, but you are very, very routine about what you have for breakfast. All right? Yep. All right. There's quite a few. The rest of you are probably not being truthful or scared of putting your hands up or something like that. But that's, we apply that to the whole of life. That's what we settle for. We don't like change. We don't like to change things. I want to give you an example of how change comes to us. Nick, if you would just put this... this comes from a place, a city called Rotorua in New Zealand, and I'd just like you to... The language that has been spoken is different. Right? It's a different language. That unsettles it for a start. Right? You'd rather hear English, wouldn't you? Right? The English is coming. Don't worry. The English is coming. Now, what happened is this woman woke up.
Got woken up about 2 a.m. in the morning thinking that there was an earthquake happening and the whole house was shaking and everything. And so I thought, oh, that's a bit of a long earthquake. It was going on for about 3 minutes and then got up and went to the kitchen, could hear it. Big guys are coming out of the bank. When we woke up in the morning, everything had kind of changed and there was mud everywhere. And
that wasn't there when they went to bed.
Everyone was here from the council and geothermal specialists and stuff, and they just kind of said, oh, we think you'd better go. Yeah, and we agreed.
It also just okay. As a reminder, right. To
take the officials away. But don't you like that? They said, oh, you better go. That's just so understated. We better go, and we agreed. You know, but change has come to her door. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine waking up in the middle of the night and finding that you have a mud pool. Finding that you're not a geyser, but a mud pool. You have a mud pool in your backyard, right? She didn't know it, but she's living on top of an earthquake fault. Things are moving. They just had an earthquake this morning on the western coast of Australia. All right? People in Indonesia were running out into the streets in fear. Right? It was only a 6.5 earthquake. That's not much, is it? Yeah. It's only a 6. It would scare you guys, though. If you had a 6.5 happen here, it would scare you witless. Right? You would be so scared. But believe you me, it's not much. Well, it is, but we're just used to it, I guess. But can you imagine? That's when change comes to you, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing when the forces that are out there bring something to your door, and there's nothing. And there are times when we just have to cope with those kinds of changes. She has a brave face, but change has forced its way into her life, that's for sure. And the good news is, though, is that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not only do you have a new life, 100% new life, not 90%, or 80% or 70%, but your life is 100% different from the inside out, all right? Now, we could leave it there. That would be good enough, wouldn't it? But there's more. The Holy Spirit of God has been sent by God into this world, here and now, to live in our hearts. And so we have God living in our hearts. Holy Spirit, live in my heart. We sang it. And I said in the first service, we sang that. I love singing that song, Come Holy Spirit, Come Holy Spirit. You know, you can sing that. Fact of the matter is, Holy Spirit's already here. Holy Spirit's already in your heart. What you're kind of saying is, I want more, I want more, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't you want more of the Holy Spirit? Right? It's the power of God. It's this wonderful agency that brooded over the chaotic deep of the waters in Genesis chapter 1. And God moved. Right? The same Spirit that the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in you now. They're amazing truths, aren't they? Amazing truths. And so the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Right? He's leading you and he's guiding you, and that's what he's for. Now, yesterday we went to the Vans family. They had their housewarming, and we went, and you guys were there, weren't you? And so we were sitting there. I found a good seat in the shade. It was pretty hot. And of course, another couple that I'd never met before, they came and sat down with us, and, you know, who are you? You introduce yourself and why are you here? You have a different accent. Do you come from Australia? No. And all that kind of stuff. Because they'd been to Australia and stuff like that. And then another couple came along and introduced. And they, what church do you go to then? And I told them what church I went to. And what's it like? What's that church like? And I said, well, we're a charismatic church. And, oh, you're charismatic. I'm a Catholic. I go to church. I'm a regular, very committed, conservative Catholic churchgoer. They've been going to church. They met at Duquesne University. There's my in, you see. I know a little bit about church history. And so, Duquesne University, what? That's amazing that you went there. Do you know that back in 59, 58, 59, 60, 61, there was an incredible move of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Duquesne University? Cardinal Sunens came to visit it. And he took the message back to the Pope of the day. And he said that what's happening there in Duquesne and other parts of the world led to people like Francis McNutt and all of those kinds of guys. And they traveled around the world and they took the message of the charismatic renewal with them. Filled our churches up, right? Our church in Hamilton was full of people who were Catholics. So many people here are Catholics, right? How many people here have come from the Catholic Church, by the way? All right, look at that. And a lot of it has to do because of what happened back there at Duquesne University. Cardinal Sunens went back to the Pope and he brought a good report. And this is in your day, when it was all happening in your day, wasn't it? And so as a result, we had this sweep amongst Catholic charismatics right around the world. It happened right around the world. South America, people were just becoming Christians hand over fist. God used this incredible, and I'm raving on like this and telling this. So the question then became, they said, well, what does the Holy Spirit do? And here's me, because they've just told me that they go to church every week. They're at church at 7:30 this morning. Now, I would find it difficult to be at church at 7:30 in the morning. Right? How many of you would find it difficult to be at church at 7:30? They're at church. I have other friends who go to church every morning for Mass. Every morning. Right? You know, right? And lives just down the road from me. So I'm trying not to appear shocked when they said, well, what is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? And my first response is to get all snippy and say, well, you go to church all the time. You should know what the Holy Spirit is. What do you... They didn't. It was an honest statement. They were asking me, well, what's this about the Holy Spirit? And the husband began to get a little disrespectful. Oh, spiritists, you know. And I said, well, you know. And then he said, oh, yeah, you're speaking tongues, all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, that's not the point, actually. The point of the matter is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is a very theological statement, actually. The Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit into the world for us today so that we would be empowered to live the life that God has called us to live. Is that a simple enough statement? Is that a simple enough statement? God sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, to empower us. You see, in our own power, we can have a modicum of success. We can jump a foot off the ground, maybe. But with God, all things are possible because he has filled us
with His Holy Spirit. That's His intent. It's His desire that we be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And yeah, we'll move in the gifts and all that kind of stuff. But it's His prime intention is that we are empowered to do what God has called us to do. Look, the Father decrees, the Son makes the decrees possible, and the Holy Spirit gives the moment in our lives today. Amazing. Amazing. So let me just now give you some scriptural backup for what I'm saying. All right. Let's go to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 20. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 20. Look it up in your Bibles. Those Bibles that are in front of you there, so that you know where John is, you know where John 15 is, and you can go to it during the week. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Now, remember, we're talking about change. We're talking about being made brand new people by the power of God, and that God places His Holy Spirit in us. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has empowered you by His Holy Spirit to live the life He wants you to live. All right? There's more to it, but I'm not going down that track today. All right, so here we are. This is Jesus speaking in John chapter 14, and I've got a really good story to go with this. If you love me, keep my commands. Now, I'm going to go through to Romans 12 to show you how easy that can be. From Romans 12, can you believe it? How easy keeping His commands can be. All right, on the surface anyway. I'm going to do that later. Here we are. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, another representative, a lawyer, if you will, to speak on your behalf, another advocate to help you and to be with you. How long? Forever. See that there? How long is forever? It's forever. It's forever, isn't it? And so those of you that have just become Christians, Holy Spirit is with you forever. You've picked something up that's going to be with you forever. Grab a hold of that this morning. He's not going to disappear because you have a car accident or because you get angry with somebody on the way to work or whatever it might be. He's still with you. He's with you forever. He's with you forever. Oh, man, I hope you get that. The Spirit of Truth. Some people have a problem with lying. Become a Christian and be filled with the Spirit of God, because He's the Spirit of Truth. And He'll deal with all of that. He'll deal with all of that. Okay, the world cannot accept Him. They think you're nuts, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But I know Him. I was standing over here, and Mike was leading us in worship, and we're singing, Come Holy Spirit, and we're singing about an empty grave, and we're singing about being released from fear, and I sense the Holy Spirit of God. I hope you do too. But the world doesn't see Him or know Him. But we do. You know Him, Jesus speaking. For He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Wow. Let's go to the next little bit, shall we? The next little bit for this. Here we go. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. We have a blessed hope. Say something about that. Now, here's the part that I want to emphasize. Because I live, you also will live. I live because He lives. Right? Oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. How many people got it? How many people got it? Because Jesus lives, I live. Now let's all say, I got it. I got it. Thank you. Thank you for helping make that point. Because I live, you also will live. Get that in your spirit this morning. We live because He lives. And He's not a liar. Because He lives, I live. He's saying, because I live, you also will live. On that day, now, can we read this together? You ready? On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Say that again, sister. All the sisters, say amen. Let the whole house say amen. 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 Oh, I'm in my Father, and you're in me.
home in you. Man, that's good news. That's good news. Let me tell you a story. I just happened to be this week listening to Ravi Zacharias, and he was being interviewed by somebody. And I didn't know it, but as a 17-year-old, he considered himself a failure because he wasn't good at cricket, and he wanted to be a great cricket player. World Cup final's on right now, actually. New Zealand's in it. So anyway, we're going to have a short service. No, I'm joking. So anyway, he wasn't a good cricket player. So he mixed up a concoction of, very deliberately, mixed up a concoction of poisons to kill himself. And he's telling the story of when he was on his suicide bed. You see, what happened was the concoction of poisons that he so carefully mixed, apparently he'd put too much salt in them, or they had too much salt in them, and it didn't kill him. It made his body crave water, right? And so he didn't die. And so he's in hospital, and on one side of his family, they'd been Christians for 8 generations, on the other side for 6 generations. And so somebody who knew them came in to where the family was gathered around, and they're highly embarrassed by the fact that their son, who should be a great success, is there on his suicide bed, right? And so this guy visits and he says, I want to read the Bible to your son. The mother is really embarrassed, so she says, would you please get out of this room? Would you please leave? And so the guy said, look here, take my Bible and read John chapter 14 to your son. And Ravi, in this particular interview, you can watch it on YouTube, he says that the mother, who didn't speak English very well, she's reading from a King James version of the Bible. And it's hard work understanding, he says, what's going on. And she's reading through it, and it gets down to this. Because I live, you also will live. And that's the verse that he remembers from his sick bed. Because I live, you also will live. Take a hold of that, will you? Now, there's a little bit more to that story. Because many, many years later, he went back, as I said, 8 generations on one side, 6 on the other. And they actually happened to find one of his great-great-great somebody or other, their funeral plot. Their plot of ground. Now, because it was so old, it hadn't been cleaned and kept up. And so it had been overgrown, and it was covered by over a foot of dirt, I understand. And so they got a shovel from somewhere, and they began to clear off all the dirt, and they got down to the headstone. And guess what the headstone said? Because you live. Because I live, you also will live. On the headstone it had, I live because he lives. Can you imagine that? And so he gave his life to Christ, of course, and you all know that Ravi Zacharias became one of the prime apologists, renowned around the world, travels all around the world, and this is the story that he tells of himself. Because he lives, I live. You have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. Hallelujah. You have the Holy Spirit. God, the God who gives us new life, changes us from the inside out, gives us the empowering Holy Spirit to live the life that he has designed us to live. Amen? Amen? And so what kind of life has he designed for us to live? This is where we're going to go, to Romans chapter 12. I use a daily planner, and it has verses in it each day. Yesterday's verse was Romans chapter 12. This is before Anthony rang me. And it has Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. And the book of Romans is an immensely, it's a simple book, but it's also immensely complicated. The book of Romans is, what the commentators do is they list out all of the deep theological subjects that are covered in the book of Romans. And it goes on page after page after page. And so that's what Romans is like. And then you get to this Romans 12, it's kind of like the fulcrum, right? And so what Paul does is he takes all these deep theological truths of redemption and all kinds of different stuff, he takes them and he brings them down to simple application. And in Romans 12, this would be one of the simplest of applications. Do you want to live a righteous life? Well, yes, because I am given righteousness from God. And so I live a righteous life. But do you want to live day by day fulfilling righteous deeds, doing righteous works? Yes, I do. I want to do the right things. I want to do the right things. When I'm faced by a conflict, I want to handle it in a godly way, which is quite a challenge, right? How many people find that when Facebook, some of us will run from conflict, and some of us, because we're extremely perverse, we run into conflict because we enjoy it. How many of you are like that? Am I the only one? Nothing like a good stoush, come on. It's the Irish. It's the Irish. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, so we've all got our idiosyncrasies to overcome. And here Paul puts it very simply. Be kindly affectionate to one another. That's easy, isn't it? Well, we've been filled with the power of God to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. I can do that. I think I'm pretty lousy at it, but I can do it. In honor, give preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, what's this? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And this is where I thought of you, Andrew. I really did. I did think of you. And I thought of what you did for Shirley all those years ago. And I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but my understanding is, and you haven't changed, have you? You're still the same guy, aren't you? Now, that's good, because that guy back then was a good guy, and I haven't seen you for 30-odd years, so. but you took Shirley under your wing, didn't you? Yeah, she was what, maybe 20, 30 years older than you? She was a single lady, and she had a little bit of a speech impediment. She had a really good sense of humor, but absolutely no sense of timing, right? I mean, you could be in the middle of prayer and something would pop out, you know, because she felt it was relevant at the time or just wanted to entertain people. I don't know why. Right, I'm not overstating that, am I? She could really mess things up, actually. And yet, Andrew over here, you know, some people are just one beat off. And that probably sums her up a little bit, doesn't it? And a lot of people were tolerant of her, weren't they? But you took her in. Right? And you looked after her, as I recall. I better give you the microphone.
Yeah, do you want to stand up? Because so you start by saying you lived with her. Well, she actually took me in as a boarder in her place when I was training as an engineer, and getting older because of her health issues at the time, and I encouraged her to keep on with the Lord and shared my faith with her and didn't judge her for the way she was. And it was a good time. It was a time when she got stronger in the Lord, and the Lord, it was an opportunity. I always, you said she was one beat off, but I was also a little bit one beat up, one always a bit different from the people as well. And
you're a lot nicer than most people.
I don't know, maybe there are some people that don't quite fit in 100% in society, and I think one of the reasons I make a good missionary is because I like that. I left my country, I was able to fit into another country and enjoy it and not suffer too much from being absent from my country and my family. And anyway, the Lord, I'm glad to hear that she's still doing well.
Yeah. Nick ran into her the other day in Cambridge. Well, not the other day, about 6 months ago. Yeah. So it was good. Now, isn't that something we can all do? Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. After all, we do come from the city of brotherly love. True? Yeah. All that's saying is to love people with God's love. That's all that's saying. In honor, opening the door for another person, opening the door and saying, you go through first. But extending that principle of putting others first from just beyond door opening to maybe some important things in life. Yeah? Honoring each other, preferring each other in love. These are things that we can do. Not lagging in diligence. We tend to want to slow down a little bit as time goes by. But don't lag in diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. We can rejoice in hope. We sang about it. There's something coming down the pike. And we look forward to Christ's return. Be patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Distribute to the needs of the saints. Be given to hospitality. Open your homes up and have people in for a meal. Look, we've been saved by the power of God. We've been filled by the power of God. And it's the power of God that enables us to fulfill Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. To do things that might not be concurrent with our nature, but which are when we're filled with the power of God. Hallelujah. Is God good? He is good. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, I want to pray this over these people today. That Lord, as they leave this place and they go out, Lord, to their workplaces, to their vacation places, Lord, as they meet with one another for dinners and for meals, and as they encourage one another, Lord, let them do it, I pray, with a newfound sense of strength and empowerment by the Holy Spirit of God. That we would give preference to one another because the Holy Spirit of God has filled us to overflowing. That we wouldn't lag in diligence, but that we would be fervent in spirit, serving you because the Holy Spirit of God enables us to do so. We can rejoice. We can be patient. We can pray and be steadfast in prayer. We can distribute to the needs of people. And we can be given to hospitality because, Lord God, your power enables us to do so. And so right now, we afresh give ourselves to you. Amen. Can you do that in your heart right now? Lord, with this understanding that you are at work in our lives, we give ourselves to you in Jesus' name, that you might use us to be the people you've designed us to be, to your glory. To the glory of God. We can do stuff. To the glory of God. How amazing is that? We ordinary people can do stuff that resounds in heaven. That angels shout at. Because we're empowered to do it by the Spirit of God. We say yes. Say it with me. Yes. We say yes this morning. Use us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, somebody came up to me straight afterwards and said, I have to go home and I have to read this verse to my husband and I have to pray for him to be filled with the Spirit of God so that the both of us can pursue life as God wants us to live it. And so pray. Pray that, I'm not going to tell you the person's name, but just pray that that takes place, that her husband hears what she's got to say, and that he too is filled with the Spirit of God, as you will be this week, as you're confronted by situations that really could turn to custard, but because God's at work in you, it will resound to the glory of God. Amen? Go with God. In the mighty name.